Krishna performed this wonderful pastime for 1 year. And he did everything so perfectly. How is it that the mother, the father, all the friends, there was not the slightest thought in their mind that it wasn't their child. They talked exactly the same way. They had exactly the same personalities, mentalities. They knew everything. And every calf's too. If anyone knows that there's anything different about a child, it's the mother. And then Krishna, in the form of all the calves and all the gopas, they would wake up, they would bathe, and then Krishna himself, who was Krishna, he would blow his buffalo horn and he'd call all the other Krishnas to come. And Krishna was so much engrossed and intoxicated in reciprocating with the love of his mothers and his calves, he was actually identifying himself as their children. And then all the calves and all the gopas, they would all come into the pasture grounds and forests all day long, and they would play the same games together. It's not that after they left the village of Braj that all the Krishnas just sat down and said, all right, we fooled them nicely. Now we... No, not like that. They were totally engrossed in the Leela. All the calves were just loving Krishna and looking at Krishna, and all the cowherd boys were looking at Krishna, and they were still sitting in the lotus, you know, looking at Krishna. Krishna was looking at them, but they were all Krishna. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. This is Vrindavan. And they would play the same games and win the games and lose the games, and the calves would be eating the grass and Krishna would be herding them, and everybody would be gathering around Krishna. Krishna lost himself in the identity of his own devotees. And then they would all come back for 1 year. Krishna fulfilled all the desires, all the innermost heart's desires of all the residents of Vrindavan. And in doing so, he fulfilled all of his desires. Should I continue? Five or six days before the end of the year, an amazing pastime took place. The cowherd men were herding cows on the top of Govardhan Hill. Cows were just relishing the grasses of Giriraj. Giriraj is Haridas Bharya. He's not only Krishna himself, but he's also serving as the greatest devotee of Krishna. There's a beautiful verse that the gopis speak, that Govardhan is the best devotee because Govardhan knows how to please Krishna by pleasing the cows and the calves and the cowherd boys and Krishna's associates by providing luscious, fragrant, health giving grasses and nectarine ambrosial water. The cowherd men would bring their cows because the grass on Govardhan Hill was so nutritious and it created such incredibly fragrant milk, and most of all, it made the cows so happy. The grass was so soft and so sweet. Meanwhile, in the bottom of the hill, in a pasture ground, the gopas were herding their calves. Now, these were older calves. These were not the calves that the cows would usually give milk to, because all of these particular cows had just recently given milk to another calf. These were the older calves. They don't give their milk to them anymore. They first give to their young ones. But these cows saw their older calves down there, and something that never ever happened before. The cowherd men were stunned what was about to take place. Just by seeing their little calves, who were all Krishna, in the pasture ground, the cows' tears started flooding their eyes, and they loudly mooed for their calves. Thank you, thank you. Different techniques to keep you awake. The cows ran down the mountain like they never ran before. They were running like they had two sets of one leg. In other words, they were galloping down. And it was a very, very rough terrain. It was not a road. It was all rocks and bushes, and they were just running right through it. Running and running, galloping. Their tails were raised high. Their necks and their heads were raised high. The humps on their back were moving to and fro. And they were crying. And not only was there tears pouring from their eyes, but as they were running, their milk bags were so gigantic, filled with milk, and the milk of their motherly affection was pouring out of their udders as they were running down the hill. Now this was very, very embarrassing to the cowherd men. Because they're gopas. They're supposed to be in charge of the cows. They started chasing after the cows to try to bring them back. They were calling with whatever calls they used to do. Come back, come back, ooh, come back. And the cows running. They didn't care anything for these cowherd men. They were running toward their little calves. Cowherd men, it is explained, they were ashamed and angry. And they chased, ran, but they couldn't keep up. And they were really, really upset. Meanwhile, the cows way, way ahead of them, they saw their little calves, and they started licking the bodies of their calves, licking and licking and licking, as if they were trying to swallow them. And the calves were so eager to see Krishna in the form of those calves, were so eager to see the eagerness of the cows to show their love for him, that he sucked their milk and sucked and sucked and sucked, and they just tore, just flowing milk coming out from their hearts toward Krishna. He was drinking and drinking as they were licking him. And Krishna was accepting every one of those licks as an offering of pure, unalloyed, ecstatic love. Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows. We should understand to what extent Krishna gives pleasure to the cows. It's not that he just protects them from being slaughtered. That's the minimum cow protection. Srila Prabhupada, I heard a tape of from Srila Prabhupada where he said, the barometer of the spirituality of any community is how happy the cows are. That's the standard. That's the standard of the spirituality of any society, how happy the cows are. cows are happy when they're protected, and when they're protected with love, with affection, with care. For about 6 years, in my early years trying to be a devotee, I was taking care of cows. And so many beautiful things are learned. I remember, you know, if you feed the cow nicely, if you milk the cow nicely, every day I would brush each cow. Every single hair on their body I would brush with a special cow brush. And cows are females. They like to look nice. I would brush them exactly according to the direction that their hairs were going. Because like on their face, some hairs go this way and some go this way and some go this way. So I would be going very carefully. And the cows would be going like this. They'd be so happy. So happy. And when I would bring them out after brushing them like this and feeding them, sometimes I would steal Mahaprasad and give it to them. I just, whatever I could do for these big cows. And after giving them water and washing them and brushing them and milking them and sing for them and give them garlands and all things like this, by the time they went out to the pasture, literally, they were dancing. They were like this. They just looked so proud. It wasn't the things you do for them. They can feel that you care. Everyone needs to be cared for. To protect means not just, you know, some physical stuff. In marriage, when we say the husband is supposed to protect the wife, it doesn't mean here's your food, here's your clothes, here's your bed, now leave me alone. It's not like that. Protection means affection. Not sense gratification, affection, but care. If a person feels physically, emotionally, and spiritually cared for, they're satisfied. And they want to reciprocate. And they're protected. Krishna gives pleasure to the cows. He gives pleasure to the senses of those devotees who take shelter of him. He gives pleasure to the earth. In this story, we're getting a glimpse into what Govinda really means. Here he is. All these hundreds and thousands of cows who longed to give Krishna their milk. Even the cows are seeing Yashoda and saying, I love Yashoda. I honor Yashoda. I'm Yashoda's eternal servant. But oh, how nice it would be if I could give my milk to Krishna like Yashoda. And now they're doing it without even knowing. And they're licking and licking and licking and crying and crying and crying and pouring milk into Krishna's mouth. And Krishna's sucking and sucking and getting licked. And he's so happy, he's crying in ecstasy to receive the love of his mothers. Shri Radha Govinda Dev Ki Jai. Meanwhile, the cowherd men are thinking, there's not going to be any milk left. These older calves, they're not supposed to be drinking all the cow's milk. They're running, 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 trying to get down. As soon as they got down, they saw the gopas, who were their own sons, but were Krishna. And the cowherd men, love for their sons just erupted within their hearts so uncontrollably. They forgot all about their anger, all about their shame. They forgot all about anything else except, my son, my son. And each cowherd boy embraced his son to his heart of hearts and put the son on the lap and smelled the head of the son and cried in affection for the son as Krishna was reciprocating with the cowherd men, fulfilling all their desires. For 1 year, Krishna gave every cowherd man the same relationship as Nanda Maharaj. And gave him the same joy, the same love. It went on for a long time, where the cows are loving their children and the cowherd men are loving their children, and finally, they just had to go, and it was very, very difficult somehow or other. The cowherd men took the cows away and they walked away, and as they walked away, just remembering their children, their hearts were so filled with love, they cried in ecstasy all the way home. Lord Balaramji was watching this scene. It takes a lot to astonish Lord Balaram, because he is supremely astonishing. Lord Balaram never saw anything like this before. What's happening? Why are the cows coming to their older calves and weeping and crying and pouring their milk into their mouths? This isn't supposed to happen. Why? And why the cowherd men, they love their children the same way Nanda and Yashoda loves Krishna. Is there some sort of demigoddess who has some mystic power putting a spell over me? No. It must be the supreme mystic power of Krishna. The day Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys was Balaram's birthday. He was not there. It was the yoga maya potency that covered over all the cowherd men, the cowherd ladies, and the cows, so that they could not detect that this was not their own child. The power of yoga maya. And it is the same yoga maya potency that Krishna covered Balaram with. This yoga maya is all powerful. Mahamaya is the perverted reflection of yoga maya. Mahamaya is the energy of the Lord that controls material existence. Yogamaya is the potency, the energy of the Lord that increases the intimacy of ecstatic relationship in Goloka Vrindavan. Now we understand by our own experiences the power of Mahamaya. How it can delude us personally, how it can cover us over, how it can divert us from to doing such foolish things that are so incriminating and pain-giving. We all have that experience. And when we see the world, how the whole world is so mad after money, mad after sex life, mad after prestige and fame, mad after politics, mad after so many mundane things, which are all sources of misery and death. The power of Mahamaya is unlimited. But unlimitedly greater than that is the power of yoga maya, which increases the intimacy of our love for Krishna and our love for each other in Krishna. Why did Krishna cover Balaram with Mahamaya? I mean, Yogamaya. Forgive me, Yogamaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a nice, beautiful example or explanation. You would think that Krishna would inform Balaram, his elder brother, his first expansion. But Krishna knew that Balaram was so attached to the cowherd boys that a whole year for Balaram not to see Subal or Sridhama or Stoka Krishna or Arjun or Madhu Mangal or Gandharva or any of these wonderful cowherd boys, Balaram would be in great pain of separation from his dearest friends. Krishna didn't want to do that to Balaram. So Balaram had Krishna, and Balaram had all his friends, and for the whole year, even Balaram could not detect for even a moment that there was anything that there was anything different. But then he thought about it. Actually, 5 or 6 days before the end of the year, Balaram was thinking, actually, this whole year I've been seeing it, but I didn't realize it. The only way all the cows and all the mothers and all the fathers could love their children as intimately and ecstatically as they do, just like Yashoda and Nanda love Krishna, Krishna expanded himself to be all of them. Now I understand. And he expressed himself to Krishna and asked him, what's happening? And Krishna explained everything. A year passed by earthly time. By Lord Brahma's time, it was one moment, because the calculation in time is different. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this verse, he gives a very contemporary example of the relativity of time. He said that they put Sputniks in the sky. And these Sputniks, they go around, they circumambulate the Earth in 1 hour and 25 minutes. And he said, in that 1 hour and 25 minutes, going around the Earth means it's one day by our calculation. For us, for the Earth to turn like this, it's 24 hours. But for a Sputnik, it's only 1 hour and 25 minutes. Time is very relative. By Lord Brahma's one day is what, 3,400,000,000 years. Nityananda Prabhu, Panditji? Yes. Something like that. And his night is the same. Or no, it's 4 billion, yes? 4,300,000,000 years. That's 24 hours for Brahma. So one moment for Brahma is a year by our calculation. Srila Prabhupada explains, he came back in a moment because he knew he was playing with Krishna, which means he was playing with fire. And he was very excited to see how he bewildered Krishna. What kind of scene he created by stealing all the gopas and calves from Krishna and what Krishna was going to do. He came back in a moment. Now the day he came back, it was exactly 1 year, so Balaram was celebrating his birthday back home again. (Clears throat) Brahma looks. And there he sees Krishna in the pastures, playing. And there's every calf and every cowherd boy. And they're all playing with Krishna and joking with Krishna. And the calves are eating the grass. And Brahma's, everything's the same. What happened? He's very confused. Maybe, you know, I put all these calves and gopis in a mystic slumber and hid them in a cave. Could they have escaped? No, I just checked. They were still there. He went back to the cave and he saw there they were sleeping. Then he came back to the pasture and they were all there laughing, joking and playing with Krishna and eating grasses. And he was thinking, is it the same? Is it that they are duplicates? Is there two sets of calves and cowherd boys? If there's two sets, which ones are real and which ones are not real? And then he went back to the cave and he saw they were still there and he went back to the pasture and he was thinking, maybe when I go to the cave, Krishna puts them there, but then before I get to the pasture, Krishna takes them and puts them back in the pasture. He was going back and forth. He was looking, there must be two forms. But how can there be two forms? They're exactly identical. And which ones are real and which ones are illusion? Which is Maya? He was bewildered. Our acharyas explain. Brahma was born of a lotus flower in this material existence. Even Lord Brahma is subjected to the four defects according to this sector of the Bhagavatam, which is imperfect senses, the tendency to make mistakes, the propensity to cheat, and to be invariably illusioned. So how could he bewilder Krishna, who is Tribir Gunamayar Bhavayar, who's above the three modes of material nature, who's the controller of the three modes of material nature, who's all-knowing? How can Lord Brahma bewilder Krishna? Not possible. Krishna understood what Brahma wanted to do, and he arranged everything just to bewilder Lord Brahma and to fulfill all the desires of his devotees. Brahma had no power to steal Krishna's calves and cowherd boys because they are completely transcendental. Krishna created Maya gopas and Maya calves that were just illusory duplications of the originals. Brahma stole them. Meanwhile, the original cowherd boys and calves just remained where they were. They just became invisible to the eye. Yogamaya curtain just made them invisible. This is an amazing story. Please listen carefully. This is the glory of Krishna in Vrindavan. Brahma stole Maya. Prabhupada explains, just like Ravana could not touch Sita. Impossible. It was a Maya Sita that Ravana kidnapped. Similarly, it was Maya gopas and calves that Brahma kidnapped and put in mystical sleep. He had no power over them to do that. But their illusory forms he could do. So meanwhile, Brahma is looking and he's really confused. Which is real? Which is not real? Who is real? What is real? How is this? What's happening? He was really, really perplexed. Now, Brahma is able to figure out everything. He knows how to figure out the whole creation of the universe. But this was one thing he could not figure out. When he was at the culmination of the anxiety of being totally bewildered, suddenly, right in front of his eyes, every single calf and every single gopa manifested a complexion like a monsoon rain cloud. Each one was wearing a dhoti cloth that was yellow and bright like lightning. Each one had four arms, holding the conch shell, the club, the lotus flower, and the chakra. And they all had beautiful garlands and were dressed with magnificent jewels. Each one had the Kaustubha Mani and Sri, the line of Lakshmi, on their chest. Each one had jeweled armlets, bracelets, rings, anklets. Each one had lotus-like eyes gazing on him and smiling. And around each one of these Vishnu forms, he saw all moving and unmoving beings worshiping them. What a vision. He saw all living beings, moving and non-moving, offering prayers, offering puja, from the demigods to other Lord Brahmas to blades of grass, trees, they were all chanting the glories and offering their love and honor to these Vishnu forms. And then he saw all the subtle elements. He saw the personification of karma, of samskara. He saw the personification of time. He saw the personification of the three modes of material nature. He saw the personification of all the elements of material existence, all glorifying the Supreme Lord and chanting His holy names. Just like in the pitch darkness of night, snow cannot add to the darkness. Or a firefly in night thinks he's really lighting up the sky. Have you ever seen fireflies? At night, it's really beautiful. They go, and it just illuminates. Light all around. They have tiny little eyes. Yes. So they can't see like we see. So when they make that, and the light comes out, to them it looks like they're illuminating the whole sky, according to their relative perception. Recently, I was in Gita Nagari. And I was at my god brother and god sister's home, Taruni Prabhu and Yadunandan Prabhu. And in their yard, there were thousands and thousands of fireflies. It was unbelievable. It was spectacular. It was like the 4th of July. But you don't know what the 4th of July, it was like Diwali. I'm sorry. Independence Day. We came back from a lecture at Radha Damodar Temple pretty late at night. It was pitch dark. It was a moonless night. And there were, in the bushes, there was just lights going, thousands of lights. And it was mystifying. And we just sat there chanting Hare Krishna, looking at the fireflies. Hare Krishna, Hare. Well, they go, I was thinking, what an amazing, spectacular feature of material nature. And then Yadunandan said, because they're in his yard for so many years doing this, he did a study of fireflies. And he told me, do you know why all these fireflies are going pss, 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 and lighting up the sky, just flashing? Thousands and thousands. I was so eager to hear. I said, please tell me, tell me. He said, according to my research, it's only the male fireflies that give the light. The female fireflies, they're all down in, you know, in the bushes. And the male fireflies are shooting, as they're looking for food and flying around or whatever they're doing, they're flashing their light just to keep the attention of the females. After hearing that, I decided, you know, it's not so interesting, actually. It's material nature. So here Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that in the darkness of ignorance, Lord Brahma is thinking that I am lighting up the whole world. But in the presence of the noonday sun, when the firefly goes, tss, 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 nobody sees him. Nobody knows he exists. Even he doesn't know he exists. Simply insignificant. Brahma is a great mystic, but Krishna is Yogeshwar. He is the supreme mystic. When Brahma saw all these Vishnumurtis around him, who are they? How is this happening? It came to the point where he was stunned. He was bewildered to such an extent, his consciousness practically shut off and he couldn't see or think anymore. That's to the degree Krishna bewildered Brahma. He was just blank. And when Krishna brought him to that point, all of a sudden, the whole scene disappeared. And Lord Brahma came to his senses again. He opened his eyes. He looked around. And he saw the forest of Vrindavan. He saw the beautiful trees, kadamba trees, tamal trees, peepal trees, banyan trees. He saw flowers, fragrant, sweet flowers decorating all of these trees and ripe fruits. There was a very, very sweet ambrosial wind blowing upon him. The river Yamuna and all the lakes, crystal clear with lotus flowers sprouting all about. Lord Brahma saw how Vrindavan is equally beautiful in all six seasons. Something that cannot happen anywhere in this material world. And he heard the sweet singing of the birds and the dancing of the peacocks. He saw Vrindavan as the transcendental abode of love. Krishna gave him that vision. He saw in Vrindavan as the place where there is no hunger, there is no anger, there is no thirst, where even natural inimical species toward each other were sharing intimate friendship. Tigers, wolves, dogs, peacocks, deer, human beings, where in this material world there is natural animosity and inimical feelings between different classes of people and different classes of species of life. But in Vrindavan, there was nothing but loving, intimate friendship. They all live together in such love. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through the Jharikhanda forest with great eagerness to achieve Vrindavan, some tigers started following him. And then deer began to follow. Now in the jungle, the deers hate the elephant. Why? Because they happen to be the elephant's most favorite food. If the elephant sees the deer, drinks their blood, eats their flesh, kills their mother, their father, their children. Very inimical. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, because he's Krishna himself, with the love of Radha, manifesting from his heart of hearts, the forest of Jharikhanda became none different than Vrindavan. The deers were following. The tigers were following. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to them and raised his arms and said, chant the holy names. The tigers, the deers, the snakes, the porcupines, the leaves, the trees, the creepers, the flowers, the grass, the birds. Everyone was intoxicated with love of God by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. They all chanted the holy names. And then the most incredible sight. The tigers, instead of eating the deers, embraced the deers. And the deers, instead of running for their lives to escape, embraced the tigers. And Lord Chaitanya was watching as they were embracing each other with tears of love for each other in their eyes. They were kissing each other. Now, this was not romantic kissing. This was an expression of spiritual love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu watched and he smiled and he remembered this beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam explaining the experience of Lord Brahma when Vrindavan was revealed to him. No hunger, no anger, no thirst, where even inimical species share the association of loving friendship. Srila Prabhupada explains how this is possible. Srila Prabhupada explains, to whatever extent any living being has the desire for sense gratification, that impels us to be envious toward others. It impels us to be selfish toward others. But in Vrindavan, no one has any desire for selfish personal enjoyment. Everyone wants to give pleasure to Krishna. Everyone is united for Krishna. Sarva padiva niramuktan tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhaktaruchyate. We have all these upadis, all these unwanted designations due to the false ego. Individually, collectively. We have so many reasons to fight, so many reasons to be envious, because we have so many selfish ambitions for sense enjoyment, subtle or gross. Bhakti is the process of putting Krishna in the center of our life, where Krishna satisfaction is the only criteria of success in any of our endeavors. Is Krishna pleased? Is Guru pleased? Is the Vaishnavas pleased? That's what Krishna and Guru want. That's all. If we love Krishna, we will be the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. If we don't, to the degree we don't love Krishna, my false ego is in the center. Or my extended egos. So Vrindavan is a place where, because everyone is focused on loving service to Krishna, there is no envy. Therefore, everyone is in unity. Even if there are serious difference of opinions, even if there are serious different ways of doing the same thing, that's natural. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are different camps of people who have very different opinions of how to serve Krishna. And different natures. So as devotees, yes, we have different natures, we have different propensities. Because of that, we have different ideas, we have different ways of doing things. The false ego is everyone must be the way I am. But it doesn't work. Srila Prabhupada, how much he enthused people with different natures. If someone was kind of rough by nature, Krishna would engage that roughness. I mean, Prabhupada would engage that roughness. If someone was very sweet and gentle, Prabhupada would engage that. He would engage so many people in so many different things. Scientist, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, gave him the BI with full encouragement, Bhaktivedanta Institute. Other devotees encourage them, you know, collect funds. Other devotees develop gurukuls. Other devotees distribute books. Other devotees take care of cows. And so many different people had so many different opinions, and everyone naturally thinks my service is very important. One time, all different types of devotees from different departments and different types of services were all together with Srila Prabhupada in a big Srimad Bhagavatam class in America, and somebody asked, Prabhupada, what service pleases you the most? Hare Krishna. Everyone was sure he was going to say their service. Prabhupada said, the service that pleases me most is to love Krishna. Hare Krishna. That's the essence. That's the perfection. So this Vrindavan atmosphere, yes, there may be so many opinions and so many ways. How with this natural human phenomena of dealing with people, how can there be unity? How can there be loving friendship amongst different kinds of people with different backgrounds and different conditionings and different ideas? Srila Prabhupada explains, when we put aside desires for sense gratification, by making Krishna the center, to please Krishna. And it pleases Krishna when we are unified. Amanina manadena. When we learn to offer respect to others and not expect respect for oneself. Then all these different varieties can be harmonized and unified as we learn to love Krishna and love one another as we chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Lord Brahma is seeing this. Vrindavan. Everything and everyone is in love with each other for Krishna's pleasure. This is not what people call touchy-feely stuff. This is bhakti. This is not sentiment. This is the crescendo of all philosophy and knowledge. It's Vrindavan. Who is more intellectual than Brahma? But it is this experience of the unity of all living beings in their love for Krishna that totally transformed Brahma's heart. He saw Vrindavan. And then he looked to the side, and there was Krishna standing all alone with the same yogurt and rice and fruit salad in his hand that he was holding 1 year before. And not only that, but Krishna was looking for the cows and the calves just like he was a year before. When Brahma saw that, he understood that Krishna, he is unlimited. He is like an ocean. He's unfathomable. No one can understand him. No one can understand Krishna. All we could do, if we have proper intelligence, is surrender to him. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes in purport, one of his experiences of an unlimited ocean. When he was on the Jaladuta, we know the crises of health he had, two heart attacks, seasickness. He said he was on that cargo ship looking around, and in all four directions, all there was water. He said, when you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a little cargo ship, you realize how insignificant you are. He said he felt like he was riding on a little tiny matchbox in a vast ocean. And yet, we want to try to understand the unlimited qualities, glories of Krishna. Even Lord Brahma came to the realization, impossible. Achintya Shakti. Krishna is inconceivable. He is achuta. He is unconquerable and infallible. And Lord Brahma, with his intelligence, with his lifespan, with his power, he realized, I am totally insignificant to understand Krishna's glories. All I could do is surrender my heart and my soul to him. And in this spirit, we should all chant his holy names. Lord Brahma's false prestige of being the creator of the universe was crushed into a very fine powder. And he was Trinadapi Sunichena. He was very, very humble. He got down off of his swan carrier and fell at the lotus feet of Krishna with tears of love in his eyes. Now this is very significant because it is said that the demigods never touch the ground of the earth. If they come to the earth, they hover. They don't touch. But here is the king of all the demigods, and he's offering his full dandavats on the ground. And because he has four heads, for him to do, he wanted to do dandavats with all of his heads. So he had to shift his positions in so many ways. And he kept falling in the ground, dandavat. He was doing thousands of dandavats to Krishna's lotus feet. He put his heads, all of his heads and his crowns on Krishna's feet. And then with his tears of humility, repentance, and love and gratitude, he bathed Krishna's feet with those tears. And he was experiencing great joy in doing so. Lord Brahma got up and with folded palms offered glorious prayers to Lord Krishna. In essence, he expressed how Krishna's form is unlimited and eternal. It is the source of everything. But it can only not be known through pure devotional service. The jnanis, the mental speculators, the most they could understand is the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, which is only the rays emanating from the eternal form of the Lord. But those with the highest intelligence, those who are most fortunate and who've received the greatest blessings, they surrender to your Supreme Personality with unmotivated love and devotion. Tateinu kampam susamikshimano bunjana evatmikritam vipagam haridvagvapur virvitatam namaste jiveti smuktipate sadayabhag. Lord Brahma, he offered this prayer, which is one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite verses to cite. That even while undergoing so many difficulties, crises and problems within one's life, one who remains faithful to the service of the Lord, one with folded hands and grateful heart offers obeisances to the Lord, to him, muktipada. Mukti means liberation. Pada means the divine loving service to the lotus feet of Krishna. The supreme liberation is pure service to the Lord. That ultimate perfection is the rightful claim to the devotee who remains faithful and grateful to Krishna in every difficult or prosperous situation that may come. Lord Brahma offered most philosophically, devotionally surcharged prayers. Krishna did not speak a word. He just appeared that he wasn't even listening. He was just standing there looking around with this food in his hand. Krishna heard it, but he didn't. He wanted to reveal himself to Brahma as just a simple little innocent ordinary little cowherd boy looking for his friends to increase the intensity of Brahma's love. This, it only increased the appreciation of Brahma. He's offering prayers to Krishna as the supreme, absolute, ultimate Godhead, and Krishna's just standing there looking for his friends with some yogurt that's still in his hands, mixed with rice. Lord Brahma, he was perspiring, he was trembling, he was weeping. He circumambulated Krishna three times and asked permission from Krishna to go. Krishna didn't say a word. But to not say a word in this case means he gave permission. This is Brahma Vimohan Lila. Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explain about these cowherd boys. The original gopas and the original calves, the calves were still wandering around eating grass. And the gopas were still on the bank of the Yamuna waiting for Krishna to return. The originals. It was the Maya, illusory gopas and calves that Brahma stole. But by Krishna's yoga maya potency, the calves and the gopas, they experienced that 1 year as a half of a moment. A moment is only a fraction of a second. A half of a moment is only practically like the blinking of an eye. By Krishna's yoga maya potency, they were all still right there. They were just not seen. So after Brahma left, Krishna went and found all the original calves who were still eating grass. To them, it was just a half a moment that they had been away. And Krishna brought them all back. And he came back to the banks of the river Yamuna, and there all of his friends were waiting for him, and they went, "Gopal, Gopal, Krishna, you are back, you are back. And you came back so fast, we can't believe it. When you said that you stay here and you eat prasad and I'll go and get the calves, we thought it would take some time, but you came back in just a second with all the calves. Unbelievable, you're so fast, Krishna. And we didn't eat a single morsel because how could we eat without you? So we're all just waiting for you. Please come and take prasad." So Krishna sat again in the middle, like the whirl of the lotus, and all the boys were sitting and they all enjoyed eating prasad. And by Krishna's yoga maya potency, even though 1 year passed as a half of a moment, for all the cowherd boys and the calves, all the prasad was absolutely succulent and fresh. It's not that in that year it became stale or dried up or anything like that. And it's mostly milk products. And again, the cowherd boys sitting on bank of Yamuna, they were laughing and they were joking and they were eating prasad and they were throwing prasad to each other and passing prasad to each other and trying prasad and tasting prasad. And Lord Brahma and the demigods, they realized this is Vrindavan, the ultimate supreme abode of spiritual love. Shri Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. The gopas were congratulating Krishna for being so fast and so expert. Then after they took prasad, they all went home. They put all the calves in front of them. And Krishna was behind all the calves with his friends. And before they'd enter into the village of Braja, they blew their horns and played their flutes. And all the Brijavasis, they were waiting at the outskirts. All the cows were mooing for their calves. On the way home, Krishna showed them the dead body of Agasura. Krishna kept it completely fresh. In a year, it would be like dried up leather, but it was still soft and some of the nice fresh blood was still there. Everything was just as if it happened a few minutes before. And they were looking at wonder at this magnificent form, and they were thinking, oh, tomorrow we will play on this Agasura body. And they came into Vrindavan, and when they entered into the village, Nanda, Yashoda, and all the older gopas and gopis were waiting. And guess what the cowherd boys were singing? They were singing the glories of how just a couple hours ago, Krishna killed the serpent Agasura. And everyone was rapt with attention. Really, Krishna did that today? How Krishna fulfills all the desires of the devotees. Our acharyas also explain how the young gopis, they all wanted Krishna as their husbands. Krishna convinced during that year Nanda Maharaj and Upananda, this is a good time to get all the gopis and gopas married. So there were many marriages. These different gopis, they all married different cowherd boys, but they were all Krishna. And then after that, they were all married to Krishna. So when Krishna, some years later, when he blew his flute for the Rasa Lila, and the gopis all left their husbands for Krishna, actually Krishna was their original husband. And Krishna's Purusha. He is the original husband for every spirit soul. This is Vrindavan. Chintamani Dham. Well, when we give up all our desire for personal, selfish interests and give our hearts to Krishna, Krishna's Vrindavan Dham fulfills our every desire. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada he told us that Vrindavan was his home. And when Srila Prabhupada told us that his mission was to help us go back home, back to Godhead, this is where he wanted to bring us, to his eternal home, Sri Vrindavan Dham. It is by his mercy, by his compassion, by his love, and by the power of that love, which is our only qualification to be here, and our only hope to actually attain that crest jewel of all perfections, pure devotional service. Let us bow our heads and offer our deepest gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for giving us the matchless gift of pure bhakti. And let us pray that we can sincerely reciprocate with His compassion, with His love, by remaining faithful and sincere, to follow His instructions and to assist Him in his mission of compassion, to reveal his home, the supreme abode of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, to all of us and to the world through the chanting of the holy names. Much louder, please. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Dev ki, Sri Gaur Nithai ki, Sri Krishna Balaram ki, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda ki, Gau Premanandi, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. When Krishna killed Agasura, he was 5 years old. When he came back the same day, he was 6 years old. Krishna's Kumar Lila is from his birth till five. And the Poganda Lila begins at five, at six. And it was on full moon night, I mean the eighth day, not full moon, the eighth day of the moon in the month of Kartik, when Krishna just turned six, just after this Brahma Vimohan Leela, that Nanda Maharaj gave Krishna and Balaram the charge of the cows. 900,000. Hare Krishna. And that day we'll be celebrating on November 6th as Gopastami. Because we have to move this whole stage and the temple to Govardhan tonight, we will have Damodarastakam and then Kirtan. And then I think they'll give you some announcements now, because we are moving the whole yatra to Govardhan. I think there's about 80 buses out there. And bring all your things. You are shifting to Sri Giriraj, Govardhan. And we'll be setting up a temple and having our programs there and doing Govardhan Parikrama and visiting from there Nandagram and Barsana. And we'll be offering wonderful festival for Srila Prabhupada for his disappearance day also. Thank you very much.